Well, if you really cared about women, you would support their right to choose. Well, if you really respected people, you would use their personal pronouns. If you really love people, you would use the language that they would want you to use. If you're really a kind person, you'll celebrate all love. If you're really compassionate, you would celebrate even the illegal immigrant.
Hey, welcome to the Vertical Church Ovilla podcast, where our goal is to educate and encourage you to live out biblical faith in your life. So I'm glad you're here for this. It's going to be good.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Today we take on a very fascinating subject, that of a dangerous weapon that is being used against Christians today. Probably one of the most deceptive and most effective, because many Christians have no clue how to refute or stand against this weapon. They don't have the shield or the maneuver to get out of the way and block it and then refute it.
Yep.
That weapon is toxic empathy.
Okay.
So before we can talk about toxic empathy, we need to talk about empathy.
Empathy.
Just to begin with.
Define it.
Yeah. So empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another person.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different than sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Sympathy sees someone hurting and feels for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Empathy is the ability to see what another person is going through and feel what they are feeling in it.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Some people are more intuitively gifted at this.
Yeah.
Some people are able to actually separate themselves from someone else's pain, whether that be good or bad. It's necessary, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think about people that work in an ER or people that work in an ambulance.
Yeah.
They have to be able to come up on a situation, assess it, and do what's needed to be done without being overcome by the sorrow of the moment, potential sadness of the moment.
Yeah.
So, but empathy is a gift of being able to feel what another person feels, and that's a real gift.
Yeah. So, question for you, what would you say would be like the opposite of empathy? Or if you have empathy on one end, where you are, man, I'm feeling everything this person's feeling. I understand what's made, like what's making them make these decisions, and I have this empathy towards them. What is the and the opposite to that?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you might think right away, oh, well, the opposite would be a cold heart.
Yeah.
You know, to just like, not feel at all.
To just be rude.
Yeah, exactly. In the face of hurt and tragedy or loss or pain, suffering. But I think the opposite end of it would actually be demanding someone else feel what I feel when they are in the throes of their greatest tragedy.
Wow.
That's kind of the other extreme version of it,
of
thinking only of yourself, not just hard-hearted, but demanding something from someone while they're still in the midst of their greatest pain and suffering. So,
wow.
Interesting question.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the ability to have sympathy or even empathy is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not everybody has this, but it is something we're called to as Christians. We're told in Romans 12:15 to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean just, you know, put on a happy face or put on a sad face for someone else, but actually feel what they're feeling, either
join
in joy
in
or sorrow, and then join them in it.
Mm-hmm.
That means you've got to be able to think and feel past yourself and think and feel what another person is thinking and feeling.
Yeah. And this is written not just to any old human, correct? Like this is written to the church, to Christians,
to believers,
in their life.
Right.
Not just go up to someone who's hurting and go hurt with them.
Right.
Or go up to someone who's happy and go be happy with them.
Because
that to be applied, like you go to the casino and someone wins $1 million and say, go rejoice with that person, even though they're, you know, engaged in whatever, or, you know, someone's done something tragic and there's just sorrow and I need to go weep with them. But, and, you know, written to the Christian in the perspective of a healthy empathy, where you're going and when someone has experienced a loss, to go and be there to comfort and weep with them and experience life with them, and for the person who has great things going on in life, go and have joy with them, right?
Yeah, right. And there's some people that are more gifted at this than others. I have some of this ability, but Heather has more of it, and she, you know, it can sense another person's mood and then feel what they are feeling in that moment. And that's, That sounds frightening to me in some ways because mm-hmm. you're just entering into this place. But some people are gifted with that ability, and, they, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. This is what Jesus does for us. The book of Hebrews talks about him being a high priest who cannot – we have a high priest who cannot sympathize – I'm sorry. Yeah. For we do not have a high priest, thank you, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he feels what we feel, walks through what we have walked through, even has experienced temptation, but without sin. And as a result of that, we're encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace so that we can find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yeah. So that's a beautiful quality. Jesus demonstrates it for us today, and we should demonstrate it for one another. So as beautiful as the quality is, there's always a misappropriation of it, a misuse of it, mm-hmm. a dangerous, toxic place or way that it is used. So we'll talk about two of these today. One, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on, but it helps us kind of get an understanding of where we're headed ultimately mm-hmm. today with toxic empathy. And the first would be this, is if we ever attempt to express empathy for someone without communicating any truth, mm-hmm. that would not really be healthy mm-hmm. because empathy requires the ability to know truth and even to speak truth in that moment. So if a person is experiencing deep pain in their life and that pain or is a result of their own disobedience to God, their own rejection of his ways, their own selfishness, there needs to be an empathy for them for where they're hurting, but there would also need to be a boldness to be able to speak truth to them yeah. in the right moment to help them be free mm-hmm. from the situation they're in.
Yeah.
Because if you just expressed empathy for them, you would not be fulfilling your role truly mm-hmm. as someone who sets the captive free.
Yeah. Because the goal in life is not just to make everyone like happy and feel comfortable and ease and all this stuff. And like the empath, the goal for them is not like find the person who's hurting and make them happier to get out of it. Or like go feel with them in order to bring them out. Like, I don't think it's not bad to have like sorrow and there be sorrow and, and sharing in it and to speak truth. And again, like if there's a loss of a loved one, it's not like the empath's goal is for them to go and make sure that they're happy by the time that they're done hanging out. And, but it's to be in there and to speak truth into the aspects of their life and to not just be there with them to, hey, we're just going to emotionally kind of like reverberate off of each other. And we're just, it's just going to be a lot of emotions. You know?
Right.
That's not healthy empathy, healthy feeling and understanding. Right?
There's a place for sitting with. There's a place for mourning with. There's a time to speak truth, and it's usually not right in the middle of the moment when it's happening. But it ultimately requires both of those things. Mm-hmm. We're to speak the truth in love, and so helping other people walk through grief, sorrow, loss, tragedy, or even deal with sin in their life, then that's necessary. We're to speak the truth in love. We can't just speak the truth with no love, and we can't just love with no truth. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
So that is one aspect, I think. I know we're not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but it helps us understand, you know, if we don't have the full package of empathy with truth, and that can be unhelpful, really, in the long run for people. However, there is a dangerous version of empathy today that we're calling toxic empathy. Now, this is when someone else comes to you and uses emotion to guilt you, shame you, or manipulate you to care for them and not speak truth to them, but to even celebrate what they're doing in the midst of even defying God.
Wow.
And they play on Christians' conscience, but even more than that, their emotions, because they go after the Christian who is not maybe fully grounded in truth, because they can capitalize on their emotions and make them cower and side with them rather than tell them the truth. Maybe some examples would help here, I think, in this. So, for example, when it comes to the issue of abortion today, The Christian has the right to hurt or has the responsibility to hurt with those who are at a difficult place in their life, but we also have the responsibility to speak truth to them about what life is. But there will be those who would seek to use toxic empathy against the Christian and say, well, if you really cared about women, you would support their right to choose.
Yeah.
So there's this deceptive attack that uses an emotional appeal to try to get the Christian to side with them and give up on their convictions.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It leans over into the mercy side, but not the justice side.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to both as Christians. Another way it might be used today is in the demand that some people have for you to use their personal pronouns that they've identified with, someone who's identified with other than the gender that they've been given by God.
Yeah.
They want you to use the pronoun. And they would say things like, well, if you really respected people, you would use their personal pronouns. If you really love people, you would use the language that they would want you to use. Well, there is an emotional appeal to take a stab at someone's mercy or empathy to try to get them to give up on their conviction and line up on the of their own camp about what they believe is true.
Yeah. So you're, again, just laying it out more. You're saying this is another person, an outside person, saying to you, look at this person who's hurting, look at this person who's confused, and look at this oppressed or diminished person. Feel for them. And feel for them in such a way you're bending your convictions. Feel for them in such a way where you negate truth and go and affirm them.
Yeah.
Right? That's basically the end goal of the toxic empathy is affirmation in whatever sin they may be in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It can be just the person themselves. If you really loved me, you would use my personal pronouns that I'm telling you to use.
Yeah.
So that's using it against a Christian. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you start with this line, if you really loved me.
Yeah. Which is the deception at the beginning,
That is. And so the Christian who kind of deals with a lot of guilt and shame already, they're hooked. They don't know what to do. Like, oh my goodness, what? I can't say anything because if I really love them, they're right. I mean, I guess there should be, you know.
Yeah.
And then
they're
stuck in that moment.
Yeah.
And they don't have the courage to say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stand for what you think you are. I'm going to call you what God has made you to be.
Yeah. That's so
you
good.
Know? So, another version of this is in regards to marriage or love between two men or two women. And so along comes the line, well, if you're really a kind person, you'll celebrate all love.
Yeah.
So again, it usually starts with this. If you're a if you're a Christian, if you're a kind person, if you're really loving, if you really cared about me, if you really know Jesus, well, all of those start with a subtle dig, a subtle insinuation that you maybe don't because they know what's better in the situation they think.
Yeah.
And so they're going to tell you, you know, you should celebrate all love.
Yeah.
Or if you're really compassionate, you would celebrate even the illegal immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you would welcome them. You would say that they're doing the right thing. So but it starts with that line. If you were really
I was going to say that's the fascinating thing is really all of these statements here it all hinges off of your identity. If you are this, then this, you know. And,
right.
And so it's trying to pin an aspect of something, a value you have of being, I care for people. I respect people. I am kind. Like the fruit of the Spirit is to be, is to live out this way,
you know? And I want to be sympathetic and even empathetic.
Yeah. I want to feel with them at the same time. I'm not just going to disregard justice.
Right.
Just so I can
have
someone who's hurting not hurt as much.
Right.
Or have my affirmation, have my love, have my closeness.
Yeah. They're wanting me to bend my convictions by using an emotional toxic attack on me. And many Christians yield at that moment. They just surrender like, well, I guess I don't want to be unloving. I guess I don't want to be uncaring. I guess I really, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I guess I'm supposed to just do this.
Yeah.
And sadly, they're playing on a sensitive conscience, but a weak conscience. Because if you're not strong enough in knowing truth, you'll fall for that and you'll give into that. And pretty soon they'll be demanding that you celebrate their actions. And that's what the appeal is. So If you want to recognize toxic empathy when it's coming your way, it will almost always begin with some kind of emotional trip, some kind of half truth that's aimed at trying to strip you of your convictions and the truth that you've been holding to. Mm-hmm. It usually begins with, well, if you were this.
If you did. Yeah. If you say you are. Yeah. All that stuff.
Right. You tell everybody else that you're a Christian. You say one thing in church. You preach a good message of love. How come you don't? You know, it starts with that kind of, that comparative emotional appeal. And then they play on a person's fear of being rejected.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid if I don't do this, then, you know, they're going to turn away from me. I'm afraid that, you know, they'll be mad at me, or I'm afraid, you know, they'll say something about me to other people. I'm afraid of my reputation being tarnished. And so now they've taken guilt and it's ignited your fear. And then soon you'll compromise your conviction and you'll end up sacrificing and they'll end up towering over you and you'll be bowing before them.
Yeah.
So that's how you can recognize toxic empathy.
So true.
And if you want to shut that down, then you've got to work through some things in your own mind. The Christian today has to be equipped to know how to deal with these when they come along. And one of those is you have to get past this fear of what people think about you.
Yeah, exactly. Which again goes back to most of these toxic empathy statements, lies, you could say like how someone's going to call you out. Mm-hmm. It's going to hinge on your identity. It's going to hinge on what Christians are and how, you know, what you've identified yourself as. Mm-hmm. It's going to attack at the core of who you are and then try to say, so leveraging that, you know, you ought to do this, what I think is right, you know?
Yep. And in the culture today, what has happened is the greatest offense that anyone can commit is to offend someone.
Yeah.
And so by using that, many Christians fall for that and think, oh my goodness, well, I don't want to offend anybody. So the other side will use that against you. Well, I'm offended that you wouldn't use my title, affirm me and my sin, do what I want you to do.
Yeah.
The Christian fears that. And if you fear people, and if you fear your reputation being tarnished, then you'll fall for it every time.
Yeah. And again, this is not just a political, cultural thing. This is all the way into churches, into families, into marriages, into friendships, and all that stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And it doesn't have to always be about, blatant, outright sins.
Yeah.
It can even be about just subtle,
small things,
suggestions or tasks or, you know, actions inside a marriage. Well,
yeah.
I thought you really loved me. I thought you really cared for me. I thought you wanted to always. Yeah. Well, that's just starting. You may not realize it, but that's starting with, you know, an emotional appeal that has a little bit of a toxic flair to it.
Yes.
It's dangerous.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I think we'll spend the rest of our time here just thinking through, okay, so what do I do then? What as a Christian, how do I respond when that happens to me? Because that's the moment. That's the moment right there. You have to put it all on the line and you get past your fears. You get past even the point of some past traumas, which, by the way, before we get into this, that is something that happens sometimes. People have unhealed trauma in their life. And so, therefore, they're an easy prey for people who guilt in their conversations.
Yeah.
If you maybe experienced some rejection in your life and that was never healed, then all of a sudden, here comes a situation where this person is either going to accept you or reject you, and it triggers a trauma response, and you think, oh my goodness, I can't feel the weight of rejection again.
Yeah.
I need to give
into this. I've
got
to lean into this. Yeah,
I have to do this. I hate conflict in my life, and I can't afford to have any more conflict. So I'm just going to go ahead and yield and give into this.
Mm-hmm.
So. If there's no healing, it can be difficult to respond to any of these. Because what it requires is a person standing with great confidence in who they are as a believer in Jesus Christ, what their convictions are, and knowing truth about what's needed for another person.
That's so good. That's so good.
That means standing in that place.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
So what do you do? What do you say when someone is trying to use guilt to push you? Here are a couple of examples, things you can actually say. You can say things like, my standing in Christ is not based on the opinion of others. Whether you say that to yourself or whether you say it out loud, it's important. Okay, yeah. My standing here before God has nothing to do with my standing before someone else. I will be rejected by people today. It's not a question of am I going to be or should I try to avoid that or I want to avoid that. No, Jesus promised you're going to be hated. So go ahead and own that and know that my standing before Christ has nothing to do with the opinion of other people.
Yep.
Also, if someone's trying to use guilt against you, you should be able to say to yourself, if the Spirit hasn't convicted me, your guilt won't move me.
Yeah. That's so good.
That's a good line.
That's really good.
It's an important factor. If God hasn't convicted me, then your guilting isn't going to change me.
Yeah.
And then a line that Charlie Kirk was noted and quoted in saying is, just because you're offended doesn't make you right.
Yeah. And boy, that is the idea of today, is that if I feel offense, if I feel misheard, if I feel whatever it is, offended, then I've got to be right, and this must be the truth, and so everyone must bow to my offense. Mm-hmm. And so I will leverage, I thought you loved me, why don't you accept me?
Yep.
You know, and so that's obviously toxic empathy.
And it creates people, sadly, who are even become more and more toxic because it's all about my offenses and my hurts and my feelings. Well, that's my. And the more they keep demanding it and the more people keep bowing to it, the greater monster it just creates. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger, more demanding and more demanding and more demanding with all their minions bowing around them.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers in Jesus Christ, we don't bow to anyone.
Yeah.
We're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can you can play the music, you can command me to, but I will not bow to your song and dance.
Absolutely.
About your opinion, your wants, and what you think has offended you. So what do you do when someone's shaming you for not affirming their sin? When they are trying to get you to affirm them and they shame you. I thought you were a Christian. Well, apparently, what some Christian you are, well, these are some things that you can say to yourself or to them if necessary. Love speaks truth, not anything less.
Yeah.
It's important. Yep. Love does that. Love just doesn't yield always. Love speaks the truth just as well. Mm-hmm. Or to even say, I can honor you without agreeing with you.
Yeah. Boy, that's so good.
It's important.
Yep.
Often the Christian thinks, well, I have to agree with everyone. I have to yield to everyone. Mm-hmm. Empathy is saying, I understand. I feel for you.
Be with these people. And there's no conviction. There's no standing on truth. There's no confidence.
Another reality is that Jesus never shamed people into obedience or holiness. He called them to it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't shame them into it.
Yeah.
And so, just for me in my own life, if I pick up tones of shame or guilting and manipulation, I'm out.
Yep.
It might even be a good thing you're asking me.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of done in that moment.
Yep.
If it's through guilt, shame, manipulation.
Yeah.
If someone's trying to coerce you to compromise, then here are some things you can say to yourself or say to them if you must. My conscience bows to the words of Christ, not the pressure of the culture. But that takes a willingness to stand in the fire, to face the lions, to be hated, but to make that commitment. My conscience bows only to the words of Christ, not to the pressure of the culture. Another one similar to that you can say is, pressure won't move me, only God's word does.
Yeah.
That's a good line in the sand. That's a good stake in the ground.
Yep.
Or, I'd rather stand with God and be rejected by man than stand with man and be rejected by God.
Exactly. It's so good.
Yeah.
For all of these, the thing that just keep thinking about is, like, if you're going to be in a position where you're saying this to someone, where you're saying, you know, I'd rather stand with God and be rejected by man, in order for that to ever come out of your mouth to another individual at a high pressure moment, this has got to be so ingrained in the way in which you just think and you believe, and it's the core of who you are, and this is my identity, is I'm confident in that I'm a son of God. I'm confident that I don't have to bow to someone else. I'm confident that I'm not going to be shamed, guilted, pushed into bending my convictions for the sake of someone else. That has to be so at the core of who you are to ever get to any of this stuff to come out of you to get to go and be an impact into into someone else.
You take it over in the sports realm. You go back to high school sports. I go back to high school band. Before you ever hit Friday night, there were plenty of reps that went on long before that. You ran the plays. You knew them in your head. You rehearsed them in your mind. You played them out on the field. Same for us in marching band. They drew it on the board. We walked it on the field. We marched it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That way,
usually
whenever,
not on Friday morning, but sometimes we did on Friday morning. And then you're going to, when you got to the field that night, it's just instinctive. It just comes out of you because you've done it.
Exactly.
And you're right. For the Christian, if you're waiting till you get into a moment to be able to speak this,
I hope I can just confidently say no to this toxic family member that I know is going to shove me over about fill in the blank why I'm not affirming this person in the family. If you're waiting until that person confronts you, you're going to be like,
Yes, and you'll fall for the toxic empathy.
Yeah.
You'll yield.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're right. These have to be affirmed in our mind, rehearsed, believed.
Ingrained. Like, just, this is who I am.
I've memorized truth. I've meditated on it. I know my position. Mm-hmm. I know my stand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let's talk about another. Whenever you're being manipulated emotionally, and boy, it's an easy one, especially for the empath. The empathetic person, they feel what another person's feeling, and to be accused of not feeling is the worst offense, you know?
Yeah.
To the mercy person, to the empathetic person. But you have to be clear on when you're being emotionally manipulated. And you can say within yourself, compassion is not compliance against my convictions. These are kind of trite sayings almost. And they're not trite, they're just short sayings that help us put together into words. Compassion is not my compliance against my convictions. In other words, I'm not going to yield up my convictions for the sake of compassion. Another one is, your feelings don't rewrite God's truth.
That is so good, and it's so easy to read and say, amen, yes, I agree. And then whenever someone comes at you with that, to say those words back, that's a large task.
It is.
Because it is a line in the sand.
It is.
And you know that that person is going to be offended and upset and probably fire back at you even more.
Right.
But again, like this is what we've got to stand on.
Yeah. This is putting on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
Another one related to that is, love without boundaries isn't love, it's enablement.
Yeah.
If you're just loving and yielding and giving always to the one who wants you to bow, then what you're creating is them to be the tyrant and you to be the enabler of the tyrant. And they just become the bigger, bigger monster as a result of it. If you're pressured to people please, here are some statements you can make. I don't live for your approval. I live in Christ's. In other words, I live in Christ's approval and I don't live for your approval. And sometimes that'll mean I'm going to disappoint somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes it means my words are going to hurt someone, but I don't compromise who I am for the sake of who they are or believe they are. Another one is, if I must disappoint you to obey God, then I'll disappoint you.
So good.
It's tough. It's true. My rights and convictions don't end where your hurt feelings begin.
Yep. Heard that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these are great statements to put into our own mind, our own heart, to stand on, to build our faith with, so that we'd be ready in that moment. Mm-hmm. All of this comes back to standing in our confidence in Christ, knowing the truth, and refusing to let any kind of emotional guilting make me compromise. I love just a statement out of Paul's words from his letter to the Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, "Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ."
Yeah, that's so good.
It's true. And it really, this is the line in the sand today, in our day, as Christians are being pushed to the edge of what they will believe. Mm-hmm. And it's often with the attack of emotional or toxic emotional empathy that's trying to push them to come across the line. And it's there that we must stand. It's there that we must be confident. It's there that we must be certain. Because if we want to see a person rescued, then they've got to know truth and love at the same time. They have to know grace and truth at the same time. This is what Jesus was full of, the disciples said. And I believe these tools will help us recognize toxic empathy and then stand firm in the truth and put ourselves actually in the position to help someone be rescued rather than just continuing to enable them in their own sin.
So good.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. It is our prayer that you would experience the fullness of Christ in your life and the fullness of the confidence of standing in Him and know how to speak with mercy, with empathy, but with truth at the same time. So come join us here at Vertical, see what God's doing as we stand in the truth and we keep lifting Him up and living Him out.